Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We know you'll be blessed as Pastor Jim Cobray ministers the Word of God.
Well, what you want to do is you want to take your seat and get your Bible out. I'm just thinking how important it is as I look at life at this age and I look back at all the people that I know and have come and gone. I think one of the sad things that happens when you've been pastoring for decades, you see people come into the church, get very excited, and you see people leave. In fact, you've probably known people who used to be excited about Jesus that aren't very excited about Jesus today. Some people you talk to, they make a statement like this, done that, been there, done that stuff, you know. And it's so sad to see their lives being pulled away from what is the source of life, God Himself. I tell you the truth, it could happen to any one of us. We could come into the house of God today and we can clap and we can shout, we can sing songs, and then find ourselves a few years from now not doing anything with God. You want to know why? You want to know how to protect yourself? You want to know if you're saying to yourself inside, man, that can't happen to me, I'm not going to let that happen to me, I don't want it to happen to me, but it happens to so many. They come for a while and then walk away. They kind of like try God instead of do God. There's a big difference between try God and do God. Nowhere in the Bible says just try Him. The Bible makes very clear that you and I are to do Him. Every single time that we get together. Today, the title of this message, simple message, stick like glue. Jesus makes a statement, and He says this statement to us. He says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. And I've said it 1,000 times, I'll say it 1,000 more times. The first step to getting close to God is you, not Him getting close to you, but you getting close to Him. A lot of times we forget that. We say, oh God, come. Oh God, do this. Oh God, do that. Oh God, clean up my act. Oh God, help me not to do this, or help me to be here, and help me to be aligned this way. Oh God, do this. We ask Him to do a lot of things, but you know, before He does anything, you got to draw near to Him. And the closer you stick to Him, the better life becomes. Bottom line, that's what it is that causes people. If I could say anything about Debbie and I, in our life, after all these years of loving God and loving each other and serving God, is the one thing we could say is we stick close to Him, and anything that we feel, let me say that again, anything we feel that comes in and tries to suck us away or tries to get us to compromise, that walk of nearness to Him, we have so backed off of it. Anything that comes into our life that isn't just allowing us to keep on going with God, or maybe distracts us too much. The whole world system is out to distract you from the living God, to keep you from being all that God's called you to be. The whole system wants to get your thoughts somewhere else, get your thinking and your process and your accumulation of data coming to a conclusion to get you to follow them. The whole system, Ford Motor Company wants you to follow them. Kellogg's Corn Flakes wants you to follow them. General Electric wants you to follow them. The economy wants you to follow them. There's something constantly speaking at you always to pull you away from the things of the Lord. And all of a sudden, you know, you find yourself and you're saying, wow, the God that I shouted to last week is not the God that I'm thinking about today. I'm actually thinking about this or that, the internet or the TV or movies or our pleasure or whatever it is. And guys, until you understand a simple 3 words, stick like glue, I'm telling you, you will be sucked away like everybody else. And you can say, well, I'm born of the Spirit of God, I really love God a whole lot, and never do anything for God. Live your whole life down and out, discouraged and frustrated. Because you got to work at it. You know, God doesn't just keep you in line. God doesn't just hit you over the head with a 2x4. God isn't somebody, you know, that floats around, I said a million times, on a cosmic cloud, you know, ready to hit you with a staff. You got to check yourself all the time and make sure you do the things that you need to do to stick like glue, to be close to Him. Because it's in drawing near to Him that what? He draws near to you. If you don't draw near to Him, then I'm going to tell you something. You're just daydreaming and hoping that He'll draw near to you. I mean, it would be a horrible thing to have a marital relationship where one of the people in that marital relationship wants to get close, and the other one just backs off constantly, backs off. The marriage would eventually collapse. And that's what happens all the time in our relationship with the Lord. We get excited. It's like a honeymoon period. We're thrilled. We come to church all the time. Things start to get good. And then opportunities to go and do something else comes up. And it takes you away from your first love. In fact, that's one of the problems with the churches of Revelation that's described. One of the things that God says, you got to go back to your first love. And in order to do that, it's not Him coming to you, it's you going to Him. And that's all of us need to stick like glue. In fact, if you got your Bible, we're going to hang around John's writings. And let's take a look at 1 John, the second chapter, and verse number 6. And let's read it together. He who says he abides. By the way, let's stop right there. And let me just throw up something to you so that you can see it. Throw it over to you. You catch it and get a hold of it. See the word abides up there? I should have maybe highlighted the word abides. But the word abides we're going to look at tonight. The word abides means this. It means to live, stay, and dwell. So the word abides, can you just pop that up as an overhead, live, stay, and dwell? Put that up, because the word abides is very important. Okay, Lewis, here's what I want you to do. Put up the definition of abides. He who says he abides in Him. Now the word abides means to live, stay, and dwell in Him. I guess they don't have it in the back room. I must have missed it on my overhead. I guess I did. My fault, not theirs. Live. Everybody say live.
Live.
Everybody say stay.
Stay.
Everybody say dwell.
Dwell.
The word abides means to live, stay, and dwell. In other words, it doesn't just say to visit. It's not there for an occasional situation, but it's there all the time to live, stay, and dwell in the things of the Lord. And he who abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as He walked. In other words, if we're going to really be somebody that's close and sticking like glue to God, we ought to look at our own lives and say, you know what, at least I'm making the effort to be close to God. I'm looking like Him. I'm talking like Him. I'm making decisions like Him. I'm not looking like the world. I'm not talking like the world. I'm not making decisions like the world. I'm not following the television. I'm not following the ways of the slave. I'm doing things according to what God says. And the Bible makes it, he who says, and a lot of people say, I love God. I'm really with God. But do they live there? Do they stay there? And do they abide there? Do they have life there in His presence? I oftentimes wonder where in the world these people are. They're not dwelling with God at all. In fact, while you're there, live, stay, and dwell, it means simply to do that. It means the word abide. Go with me in 1 John, the third chapter, verse number 6. Let's just pop it up on our overhead and take a look at it. Whoever abides, lives, stays, and dwells in Him does not sin. Now, listen, let me just say this to you. At times, we're all going to mess up. So what is he talking about? Does not continue in sin. You cannot continue in sin and be born again. You'll be so grieved, so discouraged, and so frustrated. There's something on the inside of you that says, man, I'm getting close to God, and you're in sin? It doesn't work that way. And you're checked all the time by the Holy Spirit. You may sin, but guess what? Something on the inside says, I hate this. I hate myself. I've got to stop it. This is wrong. It's ungodly. And that means you're really saved. Now you got to clean up that act. So whoever abides, lives, stays, or dwells in Him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen Him or not known Him. Whoever continues in sin. And that's really a shock to a lot of people, that a lot of people just continue operating in ways that are contrary to God. And they say they're Christians, but I'm here to tell you, according to that, they haven't seen Him and they certainly don't know Him. And they're not living, staying, and dwelling in Him. If you're going to live, stay, dwell, if you're going to stick like glue to Him, you're going to have to look like Him, is the first verse that we looked at. And now you're going to have to be and so conditioned that when the Holy Spirit speaks to you and you're doing something wrong, man, you know it. And you get out of it and you do everything you can to get out of it because you're going to destroy your life by doing it. Is anybody listening? Now I want to take you to a place talking about live, stay, and indwell, talking about sticking like glue. How you and I are not going to be people that are going to fall away, that someday you're going to have people who say, well, he had a relationship or she had a relationship with God, but they don't anymore. That's not going to be a testimony about us. And I want to take you to the words of Jesus in John the 15th chapter. The words of Jesus tells us, and I want to do 11 verses and talk to you about these verses. Is that okay? Each verse we'll put up and each verse we'll get some wisdom from each one of these verses. Kind of fun to do a study like this. The whole study is really about you staying close, sticking like glue to Jesus. So as you understand the words of Jesus, Jesus speaking to you and me about staying close to him. So let's take a look at the 15th chapter, and let's go of John, and let's take a look, if you will, in verse number 1. In verse number 1, he says, I am the true vine. It's kind of an interesting statement. I want the guys in the back room, if you could, see the word true up there? Do this on the fly. Just highlight that for us. Now, he makes a statement. Jesus is talking, and he says, listen, I am the true vine. That means the word vine is something saying that someone is going to get their resources of life from me. In other words, where there's a vine, it's like the stalk of a plant, and a branch goes into it, and the plant goes down into the ground, and the stalk of the plant produces the energy, produces the life, if you will, for the branch that goes out. And when Jesus makes the statement vine, he is saying, I'm the one that you're going to get what you need out of life from. And he makes this statement, and it's a bizarre statement if you stop thinking. He could have said, couldn't he have said it like this? He could have said, hey, I'm the vine. But notice the warning that comes here. I am the true vine, which means there are false areas that you can draw life from. Life that will not take you anywhere. Life that'll energize you for a while, but let you down in the long run. In fact, the Bible tells us very clearly that sin has its season and its pleasures for a moment. And in other words, you can live in a different resource, if you will, other than the true vine. And when you live in a different resource other than the true vine, what you do is you find yourself drawing nourishment from something else that won't give you the right kind of nourishment, and you'll wither away and die. So when Jesus makes this statement, he's not just making a statement about something we read quickly. He's now making a statement that comes along and says, there's a true and a false. Wake up. And you'll never know who the false is because we have a tendency to follow the false all the time. Where do we get that tendency? From Adam and Eve. All the way back, Eve and Adam did what? They followed the wrong voice. And we have a same kind of an old sin nature in us that wants to follow the wrong voice. It feels good, it sounds good, it looks good, and we even put God on it oftentimes. This must be God when it isn't God at all. And so you and I, if we're going to draw close, we've got to draw close to the true vine, the true source of life. And what's the true source of life? And how do I know? Except you'll see it in a moment according to his word. So we look at this, and it goes on. He says, my father is a vine dresser. In other words, he's the one that keeps everything in line, keeps it all taken care of, protected, nourished. He's the one that brings the nourishment to the vine so that the vine can bring the nourishment to the branch. And so we find in verse number 2, it comes along, makes this statement. We're talking about drawing close. We're talking about sticking like glue. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. Now stop right there. All of a sudden, stop and think about it. If I'm a branch and I'm drawing my resources from the true vine, and then I'm not doing anything with what he's given me, he says, every branch in me, In other words, I can be in him and never produce anything that does not bear fruit. So a lot of times we have Christians that are born of the Spirit of God. They love God a whole lot. They even go to church and sometimes they even tithe. But they never really produce any fruit in their life. They're just kind of like, let's sing this song. Let's go through the routine, the ceremonial ritual. And let me tell you something, guys. When church becomes a ceremonial ritual and a routine to you, you're on the verge of producing no fruit. And he comes along and he says these words, every branch in me, who's the true vine, watch this. Notice the capital word, me is a capital me. That means Jesus. That does not bear fruit, he takes it away. And he says, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. Wait a minute. I thought if I bared fruit, I would have a blessing. I thought if I bared fruit, Jesus would be happy. I thought if I bared fruit, everything would be good. Now, here's where a lot of people make mistakes. Have you ever done something good and you felt like, God, Jesus wasn't in it at all? How do you know he's not pruning you so you can bring forth more fruit? A tree that's not pruned doesn't bring forth more fruit. It just brings forth fruit that's is small, is tasteless, doesn't have anything. One of the greatest shocks in Deborah's and our life is when we pastored in our first pastorate up in Lake Arrowhead. We had a little church up there, a couple hundred people. And we thought we were doing a pretty good job. When we got out of there, instead of being blessed, we got cursed. And everything in the world fell apart in our life. And we were like devastated until God brought us to this verse where he said these words, every branch that does not bear fruit, he takes away. But every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. I don't know about you, but pruning doesn't feel very good. I did something good and then I got something bad. And that's when a lot of people quit, give up, don't get close to God. And that's when you need to get close to God, because the guess what? During the times that are pressure and the times of pruning and the times when things don't feel so good, may I say this to you, God's just getting you ready for a greater, bigger, and better thing. And so many people just give up during that period of time and say, God's not with me. God must not be in this. I've tried God, and man, it doesn't work. Really important truth for you. Some of you are in here going through some real troubled times, wondering why your prayers aren't being answered. Wondering why, you know, that this you've done what you know to do, and it seems like God's not in it at all. Things just don't seem to work out. And you say to yourself, what's that all about? Could it be a time where God is just pruning you, something that doesn't feel good, so that down the road, if you stay living, dwelling, abiding in the true vine, that's the question, you'll be producing more than you ever did before. The loss of today, according to God, brings greatness tomorrow. For those that stay in the true vine, let me say it again. The loss of today brings greatness tomorrow for those that stay in the true vine. And the pressures that you have are only pressures for a season until God can produce more than you've ever expected. Is anybody listening? Now, obviously, verse 2 takes us to another verse, verse 3. Let's see what he has to say. Because all of a sudden he's talking about live, stay, and dwell, and abide. He says, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. In other words, you have heard the word of God. You have listened to what I'm saying. You got some insight. You got some wisdom. But verse 4 comes along. Let's take a look at verse 4. Abide, live, stay, and dwell where? In me, and I in you. Notice how it's kind of a funny little thing. Can I just share this with you just for a moment? Abide in me. Then he says, and I in you. He didn't say, I'll abide in you, and then you abide in me. I'm going to have to work at keeping him in my life. You know why? Because everything wants to come in to my life. Every internet thing, every garbage, every trash thought, every television thing. I mean, just the trash of the world, every problem, every economic problem. People are prophesying doom and gloom. Let me tell you something. I know my Jesus. If it's doom and gloom and there's a pruning back, there's going to be a great awakening. And I have to tell you something. When the church rises up and does what it needs to do, and I tell you what the church needs to do, it needs to draw close and abide in the true vine. That's as simple as it could possibly be. You know, and here we find, he says, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear, that's you, that's me. The word branch ought to be highlighted up there because that's you, that's me. So if you guys will do that back, that'd be great. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. In other words, guys, whatever it is that you're going to produce in life, that home, that family, that children, whatever it is that's going to be blessed, you know, your business, whatever it is going to be blessed that you want to bless, you'll never produce what need to be until you are abiding in him. Not abiding, you'll have a lot of opportunities in the things of the world. Not abiding in what men say or society or social system or the economy. Not abiding in all the stuff that's out there. But every day I'm in this stuff and around this stuff, but I am in Christ Jesus and I am going to abide in him. He says, because a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So I have got to, in order to produce in my life, in order for you to produce in your life, you're going to have to stay, dwell, and live in the true vine, who is Jesus Christ. And he says, neither can you unless you abide in me. Man, two times he makes a very statement. You're not going to do anything unless you're in Christ. The stuff you're going to do is going to be less than Christ. And you're going to get discouraged with yourself. You're going to want to walk. You're going to want to give up. And you're going to be somebody. People say, I knew them. They used to go to church 5 years ago. They don't go anymore. And you've got to stay, live, and dwell. You've got to stick like glue. Jesus goes there. You go there. You're going to produce fruit because in your life because you are in the vine. He is the true vine. But there's a lot of vines out there you could tap into to get some resource. You better watch yourself that you don't tap into the wrong vine that takes you to the wrong place and gets you the wrong results so you quit. And most people, that's what happens to them. They got so caught up in their business. They got so caught up in their lifestyle. They got so caught up in their material things. They got so caught up in the internet. They got so caught up in work. They got so caught up in whatever. Some of you tonight are so caught up in stuff. You're here tonight and you need to hear that you need to work at abiding, living, staying, dwelling in the true vine. It's in the true vine that'll produce, you'll draw the resources for the life that you want to produce. Somebody ought to give me a great big amen. I'm talking truth. Then he takes us to verse number 5. We're just talking about verses, how much fun they are about staying in. I am the vine, says it again. You are the branches. He who abides, you know, the word abides needs to be highlighted again. Because not, you notice how he said, he didn't say, you will abide. He said, he who abides, like, the option's yours. God never makes you do anything. I love the people's prayer, oh God, make me love you more. Ain't gonna happen. Slap yourself in the head, that's the stupidest theology you have ever had. Oh God, make me love you more. Now let me see how I can do that. Well, let's see. I could put you on death row and then at the last moment rescue you. Maybe you'll love me more. But the truth is you were already on death row and I rescued you. So how am I going to get you to love me more? Loving God more is a choice of wisdom that says I am going to draw the resources that I need from my life from the true vine, not the false vine. Most of you are in trouble because you've been listening to a false vine that is supplying your resources in your life that you've been taken from, that's been screwing up your decision-making process, that causes you to go someplace you don't want to go and end up doing something you don't want to do, and then you get mad at God. God, you should have gone to the cross and maybe he should have done it upside down for me. Or what else do you want him to do? It's there for the taking. All you have to do is take the true vine instead of the junk. Hey guys, listen to what I'm saying. We all have junk in our life from the past. We all got hang-ups. Don't tell me you don't. Y'all got issues? If you say you don't, then we got to cast the devil out of you for lying, because we all have issues. We all got problems. But guess what? You get over the issues and you go on with God. Why? Because he's the true vine. He's the one who will bring you the source that you need to produce the life that you desperately desire in the first place. Somebody listen to me at all. So I am the vine and you are the branches, and he who abides in me. And notice how it says, and I in him. First it's you in him before he's in you. Yeah. Draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. But he went to the cross first for you. Now it's about you getting into him. Let me tell you something. What makes Deborah and myself and anybody else been around for a while successful in Christ is we just passionately went after him. Yeah. We went after him more than we went after each other. And we just said, hey, that's it. If God said it, I don't understand it, but I that settles it. When we were just 30 years old, Debbie was in her 20s, we made a decision. We said, hey, we're going for God. The world doesn't have anything to offer. Boy, don't think the world didn't knock on our door. You know, one year when we were building this church, our income was $500,000. I mean, and that was 22 years ago, guys. $500,000 22 years ago. What do you think that's like today? I mean, we had some real choices to make in our life. I looked at her and I said, girl, this is easy. I could do this every year. And she says, man, we're going on with God. And we paid the bills of this church for 3 years in order for it to even be here. You know, we didn't have anybody supporting us. I wouldn't take up an offering. So those of you that think I just bug you about your money, can I tell you something? For 3 years, we put a basket in back, wouldn't take up an offering. I finally ran out of money and said, you guys got to start contributing. You know, the bottom line, we were so committed getting close to him. We had Bible studies. We still, to this day, every morning have coffee together for hours. We get up at, like, before the sun gets up almost. And then we have coffee, we talk about the word, she gets out, she preaches at me, I say amen, then she takes up an offering, buys me the shirt. No, I'm just kidding, but you know, we just go for it all the time. He says this, I am the vine and you are the branch, and he who abides in me and I in him. Boy, what a combination that is. Now, you can have a lot of combinations in your life, can't you? I mean, it could be you and God and something else. You know it's true. A little bit of God and a little bit of the world and a little bit of yourself and a little bit of your mother and a little bit of your father and a little bit of your relatives and brothers and aunts and uncles and all of the exes. This is the church of exes. And don't look at me like, oh, not me. Oh, yeah, you. Y'all got exes all everywhere. And it says, I bear much fruit. So all of a sudden, life starts to get good because now I'm producing something in my life. I don't have to see myself as a loser, a failure, someone who isn't getting along, trying to make it, afraid of tomorrow. Because, man, now I'm in a place where I can see myself. I'm producing something godly in my life. And I may not see the results of it just yet, but at least I feel good about it. And all of a sudden, my life starts to take on value. For without me, you can do, again, he says it. That's three times in two verses he said it. Without me, you can do nothing. But all the time, we're always trying to do something without him. And the reason we try to do something without him, because we haven't drawn near to the true vine. We got to stick like glue. To him who is the true vine, live, stay, and dwell in him and without it, man, guess what? We can't do a thing. And when you live a life and not doing anything, you know what you'll do? Give up. And then you become a number on someone's church roll that's never there. Why? Because you didn't do anything. You're dissatisfied with life. God didn't come through. Oh yeah, God came through. You didn't come through. Let somebody tell you the truth. You didn't come through. Can I tell you something? There is nothing short of that God didn't come through when he went to the cross at Calvary. When he went to the cross at Calvary, that sign sealed and delivered. It was over with. He fulfilled it. It was a done deal. Nothing more can get done. Then why do Christians fail? Because they don't draw near to the true vine. They draw near to some other vine. Because without me, speaking, look at the capital M on the word me, Jesus, you can do nothing. So life becomes stinks. Marriage stinks. The kids stink. The job stinks. Then you start hanging around people, they stink. But you don't know they stink because you've been tricked before in the past. And there's a smile and their nice ways. And all of a sudden you're in Eve's spot where the serpent's sucking you right out of the presence of God. And that's what happened. And you're not any different than Eve. We've been there so many times. I'm going to tell you something right now. What I'm talking about is sticking close to Jesus, not your friends. We got all kinds of friends we spend more time with than we do Jesus, and we wonder why our life doesn't do anything. We don't have anything because we have nothing because we're not sticking close to him. Someone said, man, I want to go to church and hear the truth. But ouch. But let me sew you back up now that I've cut you open. Is that okay? Give me that much. So verse number 5. Verse number 6 comes along and says these words. Every verse so far. If anyone does not abide in me. He is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire. And they're burned. Guess what? Life has failed. Now Christians have this great future. Have no future. I didn't write this. This is Jesus talking, guys. This is not thus saith Jim Kilbray. You know. Verse 7. It says, if you abide, the word abide ought to be big. And my words abide, put that big too in bright yellow. If you abide in me. I love the word. Don't you love the first word that says so much? What's the first word? Wow. I'm in this room alone, God. What's the first word? I didn't hear you. If means transitional, means it's an option. Doesn't mean you're going to do it. If you were going to do it, Jesus wouldn't have to even talk about it. So Jesus is talking about something because if you could do this, not do this, it's your call. It's an option. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, somebody needs to love you enough and respect you enough and honor you enough and tell you there's a great future headed for you and ahead of you. But listen to this. You're going to have to do something yourself about it. And you're going to have to stick like glue with Jesus because the rest of the world is going to try to pull you away. He says, my words abide in you. You will ask what you desire. Wait a minute, and it shall be done for you? That called answered prayer, isn't it? I mean, how cool is that to get some answers to prayer? Wait a minute, I just got beat up for a while, and now I'm getting blessed by having answered prayer. You will ask, and then you'll get. Why? Because you're close to him. And you're not going to ask something stupid because you're close to him. You know what I'm saying? I'm afraid of asking God for something that he doesn't want me to have. Guess what? You get close enough to him, you'll know what he wants you to have. It's when you don't know what he wants you to have, that means you're pretty far away from him. And by chance, you hope you pray for the right thing. Here it says, if you abide two times in me and my words abide in you. In other words, let me tell you something. You can ask what you want to do. You're not going to ask something that's contrary to what he's asked you to do or wants for you. He says, you'll ask what you desire, and it'll be done for you. Here, someone said, I just want to know how to have answered prayer. Get so close to God that his word abides inside of you in such a way that you would never violate his word, his will, his way, by asking something that's contrary to his word, will, and way. Is anybody listening? Which comes along, this is how I study the Bible anyway, you know, so I'm just kind of playing with you tonight. Is that okay? Verse number 8. It's really bizarre. By this my Father is glorified. It's a kind of a funny little word. When you do what the Word of God would have you to do, because you're close to the true vine, and the words that the true vine spoke to you, you do. When you do, and you ask, listen to this, according to your desire, which your desire will be his desire, because you're close to him, right? Wait a minute. If you're close to him, then your desire, because his word abides in you and you abide in him, so therefore your desire will be lined up with his. And he says, you'll have what you ask. And he says, by this, by what? The fact that you're in Jesus, the true vine, the word of God is in you, the word is his will, his way, his want, his desire. You have now asked according to your desire, which obviously is his desire, because you're in him and he's in you. Watch this, according to the word of God. And he says, when you do that, my Father is glorified. Let me tell you what the word glorified means. The word glorified means this, that there is a manifestation of the goodness of God on this planet. You get to show off God's goodness. That's all. You get to show off God's goodness. And when you do, because, how do you do it? The word's in you, abiding in you. You're abiding in the true vine. Your heart and the word are one, which makes your desire. You've asked according to the desire that's on the inside of you. The Father has granted it to you. And guess what happens? Now it brings glory or manifested goodness of God displayed to a lost and dying world. Wow. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. In other words, when you produce what is God, you glorify God. So you will be my disciples. Verse number 9. I'm running out of time. Verse number 9. As my Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Jesus speaking here. Verse number 10. If you keep my commandments, what's that? The word abides in you. You're abiding in Jesus. What do you have to do to be successful in life? I mean, if you're a Christian and you're saying to yourself, God, what do I have to do to get answered prayers? What do I have to do to be successful in life? What do I have to do to produce a life on this planet that brings glory to you? And listen, Lord, what do I have to do? He says, if, everybody say if. You know what that word means? It means you have another option. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. God is love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now, all of this is cool. You say, sticking as close to as glue. He's the true vine. I make the choice to get close to him. I'm the one that decides to follow the will of the Lord, the way of the Lord, the word of the Lord. I'm abiding in him, his word, his commandments. I love him. I ask, I produce, because I get results with my prayers, which glorifies the Father. All, sum it all up, what's it mean to you? Verse 11. These things I have spoken to you. So here's the reason he spoke all of that to you. Jesus is doing it.
that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Do you know what that means? You're happy, filled, full of joy every single day. I don't give a flip what the news says. I don't care what CNN says. I don't care what Fox News says. I don't care what anybody says. I got Jesus on the inside. He's taking care of me. I've got results in prayer. I'm abiding in Him. It's His will. It's His way. I'm abiding in His Word. I'm glorifying the Father with my life, and I'm a happy camper. Or the option is a stinking, lousy life that just sucks. It's okay if I use that word, because you use it anyway. Because here's why. Because you didn't draw close to the true vine. The true vine's Jesus. Not the false vine, the true vine. In your life, you have exalted Him, His Word, which is His commandments. Your desire to keep them. Your prayers are lined up with, and your desires are His will and His way. Brings glory to the Father. Now you live a life. Listen to the promise. That my joy may remain in you. I tell you, I was with Debbie Monday and Tuesday. I'm going to just talk about something personal here. Debbie and I look at each other and say, we're so blessed. We kiss. We hold hands. I tell her I love her. She tells me she loves me. She tells me I'm her best friend and she's my best friend. We call each other best friend. Life has just gotten better and better. Issues that used to be are no longer. Life that was fearful was no longer fearful. I tell you, listen to Grandpa. Grandpa wants to tell you a truth. There is nothing better than sticking like glue to Jesus. Where will you be 5 years from now? You know, I don't know how many people have come forward in this church. Maybe 125, 150, 200,000 people walk the aisles of our church. We're, as you know, one of the number one soul-winning churches in America. Where are they? We do everything we can to go after them. Spiritual personal trainers programs is taking off all over the world right now. Churches everywhere and all the nations are calling, train their people how to be personal trainers. Where are the people? It was all, they're not here. You know why? Because of choice. They chose not to get close and stay close to the vine, the true vine. And that'll be a choice you'll be challenged with. Will you partake of the tree of knowledge of good and of evil when God told you not to? And go your own way or the world's way? Or will you stay in there? Because my Bible says, he that endures to the end shall be saved. And it says it over and over and over and over. He that endures to the end. What happens if they don't endure to the end? Gathered up. I believe they're going to be thrown in the fire. And let me tell you something. I believe that, and I'll argue that point theologically with any theologian on the planet. And they'll back off because they know I'm right. There's too much scripture that says this is a long-term, every day until it's over with race with Jesus. It's an endurance race and not a sprint. Because there's a lot of people that come and a lot of people that go. I don't want you to go. I want you to stay. Be healthy so that the joy of God on the inside will remain and produce much fruit, glorifying the Father. If the Lord spoke to you today, come on, give the Lord a great big praise. Isn't God good?
We want to thank you for listening to Pastor Jim Cobray. If you've enjoyed this message and would like to know more about The Rock Church and other resources, please log on to www.rockchurch.com.